You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Light in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Let there be light. Let there be, somebody say light.
Light.
I mean, you know, Minister Al, go over there and hit that light switch. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, sir. What just happened? It got darker in here, right? In the Bible, darkness is symbolic of what? Evil, right? Oh, glory to God. It's symbolic of evil. Hallelujah. Well, we know what happened. We know that Satan was cast down to the earth. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And God looked at the condition of the earth, and God spoke to the earth and said, let there be light. Boom. Now what just happened to the darkness? Somebody say it scattered. It left. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. See, I'm saying something. I'm saying something, and I don't know if you realize what I'm saying. But because there are times that you need to call for light. Come on, somebody. You're created in the image of God. Some things we don't have because we haven't seen it yet. Some things we don't have. You know, God will give you a strategy. Oh, glory to God. Man, when that thing hit me, I began to call for light in the White House. Come on, somebody. Light in the Congress. Light in the Senate. Light in my house. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say, let there be light. Some of you all need to be calling for light right now. Oh, glory to God. Light in my body. Hallelujah. Let there be light. Why? Because if the light of God. See, let me show you something. We're not talking about the natural light. The natural light wasn't created until what? The fourth day. The sun and the moon was created on the fourth day. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. It can only light up a portion of the earth. It's meant to light up. Let me say this here. It lights up one side of the earth, but the light of God, come on, there's no limit to the light of God. The light of God is different. The light of God chases darkness. Come on. It gets rid of the darkness. Can you imagine? Can you see in your imagination the whole earth lit up at one time? I'm just saying, that's the way I see it. Hallelujah. The light of God. Tell somebody we need light. Sometimes we need light. In the book of Ephesians, where Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and he prayed that the eyes of their understanding would be what? Enlightened. Why? Because the enemy comes to darken your understanding about the things of God. And so there are times that we need the light of God. We need the light, somebody say, turned on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 8. Go to Luke chapter 8. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 8. Tell somebody God called for light and darkness scattered. You're created in this image.
Yes.
Sometimes, let me show you something. Sometimes when you're on this Father's Day, look at your neighbor and preach to him and say, light dispels darkness.
Light dispels darkness.
Glory to God. Light dispels darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And go to verse 41. Verse 41.
Luke 8 and 41 reads.
Yeah, and I'm going to read it this morning. I already made up my mind, decided that I was going to read. The Bible says, and behold, there came, stand with me right quick. Amen. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, Somebody say Jairus. How you doing, Joshua?
Hey, brother.
Oh, glory to God. Jairus. Jairus means he enlightens. Oh, glory to God. He enlightens. And he was a ruler. He was a ruler. The Bible says he was a ruler of the synagogue. Glory to God. That's a good way of saying he was a preacher. He was a priest. Amen. He had some clout. Oh, glory to God. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Okay, all right. For he had an only daughter about the age of 12 years old of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I've come to find out that your God, my God, is a God of invitation.
Yes, yes.
God likes to be invited into things. Oh, glory to God. It's amazing because God will sit back and allow you to make a mess of your life. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. How many know you, to be saved, you had to invite Jesus Christ into your life to be Lord and Savior? But sometimes we only want to invite him into just little sections of our lives. Sorry about that, Brother David. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Say, Lord, come into my life, be my Lord and be my Savior, but God want to be a part of all of your life.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. He's a God of invitation. And I've learned to invite God into my finances. Okay, all right. Invite him into my health.
Yes.
Invite him into my diet. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. He said, why? Because guess what? Sometimes we don't necessarily have a daughter that's dying, but we got something that's dying. Come on. I remember it was a time when my marriage was dying. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I was the priest of my home. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I was trying to run things. I hadn't invited Jesus to be Lord and Savior over my house, over my household. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so it was dying. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you about what I had dying, what you got dying. I'm talking about myself. Now you can preach to you. What do you got dying? That you haven't invited Christ Jesus into. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Because he is a God of invitation. God likes to be invited into things. Oh, glory to God. I remember when my wife was even battling some things, amen, in her health. And I thank God that I sought God and God even began to teach us about some things. Amen, somebody. Okay, I'll just tell you, she was battling cancer. Now, she was going through some treatments because let me show you something. God, you know, when you look in the Bible, God heals sometimes by natural means. Amen. And I think in 2 Kings, with Hezekiah, amen, God had the prophet to make up a balm or something, some type of ointment to put on him. Amen, somebody. God decided to give him 15 extra years.
Yes.
Amen. But in the process, when my wife was going through and battling, amen, God began to show and remind me of some things that was in the Word. You know, I'm a hairstylist, and so we work with chemicals. Amen, somebody. And so we began to work on my wife's diet. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God, because a lot of saints don't like to eat vegetables. I mean, you know I love the prophet, but I'm just talking about all the saints in general. We don't like, because guess what? Because guess what? You need to eat, starch. Let me say this here. There are foods that will keep your body in an acid state. And don't take my word for it, but Google it. It's hard to walk around with cancer in our bodies when your body is in an alkaline state. And so one of the things that we begin to do is work on my wife's diet, because sometimes God even want to teach us some things. Amen. He wanted to teach us some things. Oh, glory to God, before the healing manifests, so we don't have to go back down that road. And I learned that from Dr. Price. Dr. Price's wife had been battling for 5 years, and he went before God and he said, God, He said, why don't you heal my wife? And he said, well, she don't like to drink water. Amen. Sometimes some people, Christians, we just hooked on sodas. Amen. And so, she had to begin to drink water. Amen. How many know what am I talking about? I'm talking about inviting God. Yes. I just hit what me and my wife went through. Amen, somebody. Inviting God. God dealt with me. I used to like to sit down and eat the whole pig. Every pig. My wife cooked 10 pieces of chicken. Praise God. I was going to try to eat at least 8. Amen, somebody. And so when I invited God into my diet, into my health, man, God began to say, put the brakes on. Straight. I go to 5 guys and, you know, they load you up with the fries and the Lord be like, nope. Because he's a God of invitation. I know I ain't getting too many amens off of this and stuff like this, but there are times when we need to invite God into things. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. You know, because, you know, sometimes we just got to back up and God will release it. Okay, all right. Yeah, we just got to back up and say, okay, God. Yes. What do I need to do? Yes. What changes do I need to make? Yes. Amen, somebody. And so God began to show me. Hallelujah. God began to deal with me about financial things. Amen, somebody. I'd be out there shopping and go to pick something up and the Lord would be like, nope. Hallelujah. And then there was times that I would pick it up anyways and find out I had to end up taking it back to the store. It didn't fit. Amen. But some people got stuff in their closet the wrong size. Hallelujah. They bought it anyways. Amen, somebody. What am I saying? I'm saying let the Lord not just be Savior, but let him be Lord also over our lives. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. And so here he is. He's inviting Jesus Christ into his home because he has something dying. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Look at this. He's inviting light into his home because light scatters darkness. Jesus Christ was what? The light of the world. See, I was sitting on the couch last night, man, and God started dealing with me about light. You know, I'm believing God. I'm sitting there. A word, you know, believing God for a word for the church and stuff, man of God. Yeah, he started dealing with me about simply light. Call for light. Yeah. Call for his light. Yeah. Not just any light, but call for his light. His light scatters, somebody say, the darkness. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You're going through, you know, emotional things. You're all cloudy. Your mind is cloudy. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, let there be light. Yeah. Come on, hallelujah. That light can scatter the darkness that's coming after your mind, that's attacking your mind. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray you go home and start inviting light into your home. And light in every situation. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, let there be light. I want to get you used to saying it so when you get home, it's already going to be at the forefront of your mind. I'm going home to call for light. Come on. If I look in the Word, let me show you something. God give us keys and principles. If you look in the Word and you see it in the Word, come on, it's for you. Yep. Oh, glory to God. You look in the Word and you see that God called. First off, you're created in his image and likeness. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do, and I say what I hear my Father say. These are keys. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes God is kind of hidden until he allows you to see it, but these are keys. Go and call for light in every area. Light on your job. People getting on your nerves. God, let there be light. Walk in. My God, why? Because the light of God is going to scatter the darkness. Holy Spirit preaching better than y'all saying amen. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We need light in our churches. He's a priest. Yeah. Come on, he's a priest. My God. The body of Christ, the church of God, needs light like never before. A lot of us, you know, a lot of us as preachers, you know, we gotta I've been praying as of late, God help me to get out of the way. Help me to get out of the way and inviting God, inviting the Lord, oh glory to God, to be the shepherd, the chief shepherd over this ministry. Yes, yes, yes. Can I tell you something? Look at the disciples. I hadn't even planned on going there. Oh glory to God. I was going to just try to be short and sweet. Look at the disciples. Jesus sent them on assignment to the other side. He said, go to the other side. And they got in the boat, and the Bible says they begin to row. They begin to row, and they got about halfway to the other side in the Sea of Galilee, and a storm arose, and now they're struggling trying to make it to the other side. They're rowing, and they're not going anywhere. They're struggling to get to the other side. Do you know, yes, Jesus, you know, showed up walking on the sea. Peter saw him. Peter said, you know, bid me to come to you, and et cetera, et cetera. But when you go to the book of John, St. John, John shows us a picture of what it's like when you invite Jesus Christ into something. Come on, somebody. Okay, all right. Hallelujah. Preach, Holy Spirit. Go to John 6. John chapter 6. Somebody say he's the God of invitation. Okay, all right. See, because I believe that there are people that the yokes are going to be broken, weights are going to be destroyed, things are going to be, you're going to see change, you're going to see manifestation, hallelujah, when you start inviting God, oh glory to God. You know, sometimes, you know, even I've been, okay, all right, I won't even say that. All right, look at this, go to verse 19. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, in other words, about 3.5 miles, they see Jesus walking on the sea. They see a supernatural phenomenon. They see the miraculous. They see a wonder. They saw something that just blew their minds. And the Bible says, and drawing nigh unto the ship, they were afraid. How come we're afraid of the supernatural when we serve a supernatural God? Amen. How come so many ministries are backing up from the supernatural? Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. When God is a supernatural God. The Bible says that they were afraid when they saw him walking on the water. But let me show you something. Let's keep reading. Verse 20. But he saith unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. And the Bible says they willingly received him into the boat or into the ship. And immediately they were at their destination. Come on, somebody. What am I saying? I'm saying that when they invited Christ, when they allowed Christ to get into the boat, manifestation, something happened. Come on, somebody. Off of an invitation. They could have said no. They could have said, hey, nah, you can't get up in this boat. We don't understand how you're doing this. We don't understand how you're walking on the water. Come on, somebody. This here, we ain't used to this type of stuff. Come on. There's a lot of ministries that feel like this. We don't want no speaking in tongues. We don't want no laying hands on the sick. Come on, somebody. Let them put the Lord off into a corner. They don't believe in healing. They don't believe, come on, somebody. But the Bible said immediately, come on, oh, glory to God. What am I saying? Okay, let's get back to life. Hallelujah. Woo, look at this. Hallelujah. He's the Word, but he's light also. My God. Hallelujah. Okay, all right. I'm not even going there. My God, I almost feel like I want to run and go to a glorious invitation. Look at this. Because let me show you something. If you see it in the Word, and you see it more than one time in the Word, come on, somebody. My God, it's okay, it's God saying something. Oh, glory to God. Woo, an invitation. Look what happens off of somebody say an invitation. My God. Somebody, you know, oh, glory to God. Don't just sit there now. Don't be sitting there sucking this word. I mean, sit there and start inviting. You ain't, while I'm turning these pages, you can be, just get to examining your life and start inviting. The enemy don't want you to invite God into anything. Come on. Oh, glory to God. He wants you to run the show. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. But we, all right, okay. All right. Let's go down a little bit further because we want to definitely get to Jairus when he got to Jairus' house. I want to show you another picture also a little further down the page. But the Bible says that he had a daughter 12 years of age, and as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, when she had spent all her living upon physicians. I mean, you know these doctor bills, these hospital bills are crazy now. Come on. Oh, glory to God. It's all about the money for them. You know, the first thing they want to know, do you have insurance? Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. But you can be assured by God. He's the creator and the manufacturer of your body. The Bible says neither could be healed of any. Why? Because they have a license to practice. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You look at the doctor's certificate license, and it says a license to practice. Hallelujah. So this is why we should always put somebody to say the Lord first. This is why we should always invite the God who is the manufacturer of our bodies into these type of things. The Bible says that she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her blood, her issue of blood stench. Now I want you to know before she did that, another book in the gospel says she was sitting at home, and she began to say, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. Come on.
Yes, yes.
My God, I know that I will be made whole. Oh, glory to God. And she said it in her mind, but the thing about it is that God is able to hear what's going on in your mind. The Bible says he's able to do abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. He knows your thoughts. Oh, glory to God. He knows whether you make a statement of faith in your thoughts. Come on, in your mind. The Bible says that the children of Israel, okay, they were complaining in their tents. It's a picture of how we can complain sometimes, even in these tents, these earthly tabernacles. We're in there complaining. God knows when we're not in faith, even when we're not opening our mouths. Come on. But she made a statement. Y'all ain't gonna get with me on this here. But she made a statement within herself. Oh, glory to God. If I can only touch the hem of his garment, because sometimes it's all about a touch. Sometimes it's about touching God. I'm going to touch it with my praises. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to touch it with my worship. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to touch his heart with my prayers. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory. My God. You can preach on that one. Glory to God. Blew Christ away, because here's Christ in verse 45. He said, hold up, who touched me? When all had denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throngs thee. This word throng, it means to suffocate to press to the point of suffocation. This was a suffocating crowd. Everybody was touching him. Oh, glory to God. And I heard, as a matter of fact, I heard the prophet praying, press. Amen. She said, she was praying and she was saying that I had to press this morning. Come on. God, I pressed my way here. I thank God that for everybody that pressed their way here, I thank God for mother. Come on. Press him. Hallelujah. Because sometimes when you're in a battle, oh, glory to God, we can listen to the voice of the enemy. We can, don't fool yourself. When you're in a battle, he's talking to your head. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. He's making suggestions. Amen, somebody. And thank God for discernment, because we need discernment like never before. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. All of us have been there.
Yeah.
We listen to the voice of the enemy. We allow the enemy to fool us, but somebody say, not today.
Not today.
Not today. My daughter's not here, but if she was here, she'd be saying, not today.
Not today.
Ooh, he said, somebody touch me. Yeah. I perceive that virtue, power is gone out of me. Hallelujah. Y'all be trying to touch Christ every day.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Tap into his virtue. Tap into his power. Hallelujah. Stop looking so much outside of yourself. Oh, glory to God. Look to the God that's on the inside of you. Haven't you said, Lord, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior? Okay, all right. Well, where is God then? He's in you. And sometimes we look for God outside of us when God is in you. And it's amazing, because sometimes, we really don't understand the spirit realm, because when it comes down to the spirit realm, it almost seems like when it comes down to capacity, you can contain so much in the spirit realm than what you can in the natural realm. Are y'all understanding me? Okay, well, how does a man running around in the graveyard got a legion worth of demons on the inside of him? That means that, guess what? Spiritually, you're capable. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. I don't know if y'all getting this.
Yes.
You got a lot of capacity in your spirit. Oh, glory to God.
Yes.
So Jesus said, who touched me?
Yes.
Somebody touched me, because power went out of me.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Virtue went out of me.
Yes.
virtue left my body. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 47. And the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling and falling down before him and declared unto him and before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. I love this here because sometimes we're praying for a healing when God really want to make people whole. Okay. All right. You know, the Lord had to teach me that a long time ago because, praise God, I was praying for this person. And as I was praying for this person over on Morrell and this one issue, he told me about the one issue. And then I said, I went to walk away, and the Lord said, that's not it. Come on, there's more stuff going on. And so I turned around and I said, you got some other things going on. And it was like he just read off a list, this, and this. Because guess what? There are times when God's not looking to heal just the one thing, but he wants to make you whole. Somebody say, Lord, make me whole. Make me whole. See, sometimes we haven't said the right thing. We haven't, we're just saying, heal me. Oh, glory to God. God want to do more than just heal, an ingrown toenail. He want to heal your whole body. Come on. He want to make you whole. That man that had been laying down for 38 years, oh, glory to God. You better believe his bones were locked up, his muscles were shot. Oh, glory to God. He was more than just paralyzed. Amen. And so the Lord had to make him whole. So you're looking at something miraculous to get up off the ground after 38 years. There was no rehab. Okay. How many know that when a person's been laying down in a bed for a very long period of time, you got to go through rehab? Those muscles got to be built back up. There was no rehab, everybody. Come on.
I sure hope you enjoyed our broadcast, and I hope you enjoy our daily broadcast. And if it has been a blessing to you, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, you could use our church telephone number, which is connected to the church Zelle account. The telephone number is 321-358-7455. Also, if you want to send your love offering, love gift through Zelle using our email account, it is vipministries@att.net. Those are for Zelle, but if you would like to Cash App, you can Cash App us at $Victory. With an I, in other words, $VICTORI57. We sure hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You could use also that telephone number to tell us if the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or the email address. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Our address is 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Our Sunday morning services start at 11 a.m. All right, God bless you.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, today's question comes from Matthew 12, verses 6 to 8, where Jesus makes a couple of statements that would have offended most of his Jewish audience. He tells the Pharisees that, quote, something greater than the temple is here. And he said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And John, what was so offensive to those Jewish religious leaders about Jesus' declaration that he was, and still is, greater than the temple and Lord of the Sabbath?
Well, simply stated, saying you're greater than the temple is equivalent to claiming to be God. And Jesus did this all the time. He claimed to be God continually. The Pharisees understood that. They even said he makes himself equal with God. There are critics who say, well, Jesus never did claim to be God. Well, he certainly did, and even his most violent enemies understood that he was making that claim, which, by the way, he completely supported.